This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Get in for, well, not X-Max anymore, Raj. X-Max has just passed. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. But I do want to play you a highlight from X-Max. I said before I got to Richard from Manhattan, you know, I was going to take Richard from Manhattan's call at the end of the first hour during a segment we call X-Max. And I didn't know what he was going to talk about, but a lot of times it's not even related to what we've been talking about all show or what's in the news. But I knew it would be, two things would be true. It would be from decades ago, and that it'd be interesting. Three things would be true. And that it wouldn't be anything anyone else has said. And sure enough, I was right. He's talking about if it's Atlanta versus Phoenix, has there ever been two teams like that? No one thought the finals were going to be between Atlanta and Phoenix. And he's right. I couldn't think of any other. He's often right about that when it comes down to it. That's true. I can't think of another example like that. In the history of the NBA, at least I'm 47, almost 48 years old in my lifetime watching the NBA since, you know, last 40 years, let's say. But then he started talking about, as good I had Ed O'Bannon on and talking about this and the Supreme Court's ruling against the NCAA. But do you know who started? And he started saying something about, he asked me about Tarkanian, about Jerry Tarkanian. And Raj, I couldn't hear what he was saying because we were playing sound drops of him saying, John Havlicek, right? Because he was obsessed.
It was well-timed, one of the best time drops we've ever played.
Yeah. And he at one point, like for a week straight, he was calling about Havlicek for some reason. And
let's hear it.
I think he said, did he say I should have had Tarkanian on the show? I mean, Tarkanian passed away years ago. He didn't say I should have him on the show. I want to play the end because I couldn't catch what he was saying.
Max, one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody is giving this guy credit, and he's upstairs where he can't speak for himself anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
You got Ed O'Bannon on, but you didn't get the master of it all for college athletes, the spokesman for college athletes getting paid.
Okay.
And he used to say, he had a famous statement that said, I want transfer college players on my team because the cars are paid for already.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about.
I don't offhand.
John Havlicek, Jerry Tarkanian.
Tarkanian.
Tarkanian wanted all these kids in school.
Yeah. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. Tarkanian, of course, the coach of the Running Rebels when they were, you know, I grew up in New York City. I used to wear a Running Rebels cap, like the baseball hat, the Running Rebels hat, because everyone loved UNLV. UNLV could beat a pro team. They were unbelievable for a couple years there under Tarkanian. All right. So he didn't say that I should have had Tarkanian on the show. He had not acknowledged in the beginning that you couldn't have him on the show for obvious reasons. Okay. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Paul will not be playing in Game 2 against the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard will also not be playing for the Clippers against Chris Paul and the Suns. In Game 2, both Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard out. Now, we saw how these two teams performed in Game 1 at Phoenix. A raucous home crowd, a real home court advantage. Devin Booker with a 40-point triple-double. And yet, the Suns won at home by the skin of their teeth. Paul George played huge. Terrence Mann stepped up, and that's not fluky. Terrence Mann, when he's given some burn, he produces. He's a very good young player and improving. Not that he's producing on this level, but it reminds me in a little way of like the way Pascal Siakam came on in Toronto. Obviously, Siakam was more advanced than Terrence Mann. But Siakam, like no one was really thinking, oh, Pascal Siakam is going to be a star. But he's a nice piece, right? But no, he turned into a star, you know, during that run. If Kawhi can come back, even if Chris Paul is back, and he played against Denver as well as the point guard position can be played. You can't play any better than Chris Paul played against Denver. He's playing the best basketball of his life, and that's saying something because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer eventually. But even with Chris Paul back, when Kawhi gets back, if he gets back from the knee, I think the Clippers can still win the series even if they fall down 0-2. Because really, every series ever played in professional sports, ever, either after two games, you go, well, that's why you want home court, because you're up 2-0, you're very likely to win. Or if the road team can even steal a single game, go, whoa, look out. They can win because they just stole home court back, right? Yeah, what do people say? You don't have a series until the road team wins a game, until the home team loses a game. That hasn't happened yet. But given how close game one was, given the fact that that was without Kawhi, and as great as Chris Paul is, Kawhi Leonard, as a postseason performer, is one of the greatest in the history of American team sports. Look what he's done in his postseason career. Yeah, they can fall down 0-2. Like, just think about it. Stephen A. was talking on First Take today about, well, could you see the Clippers winning 4 out of 5? It's not the way it really works. At that moment, it looks like 4 out of 5. But if the Clippers simply defend home court, which they'd be favored to do with Kawhi, then after four games, it's 2-2, and the odds reset. You know, that now, the Suns could win at home, and then the Clippers could win at home again. It comes down to a game 7. The Clippers are going to have to win a game on the road. Can they do it? Yeah, I think fully loaded, they can. Batum has really been an excellent pickup. He's been excellent all year. And Morris and Reggie Jackson's playing out of his mind. And Rondo is actually playoff Rondo, not just in name, but in deed. And Paul George has stepped up, which to me, this is what these playoffs, one of the main storylines of these playoffs, were can Paul George finally step up and be a superstar? He's played like a superstar recently in Kawhi's absence. Can he continue to do that if and when Kawhi gets back? Because if he can, with a guy like Terrence Mann, ascending, yeah, the Clippers can beat the Suns even if they fall down 0-2. Now, Clippers coach Ty Lue, who, look, he's one of the best coaches in basketball. For my money, he's the best coach in basketball. In that, if I had a team, I'd want Ty Lue to coach. In terms of the way he relates to the players, in terms of the way he can keep a team together, in terms of his playoff adjustments, how he can analyze a game, see what needs to be done on an X's and O's level and a matchup level, make the proper adjustments, and then his team comes back to win. So that's about not only instilling confidence and keeping spirits high, and holding guys accountable, but analyzing the X's and O's and acting accordingly and having the courage of your convictions, right? Okay, this is what I think needs to happen. I'm going to go out and do it. Yeah, if I had a team, I would want him to be my coach before anyone else. Apologies, Greg Popovich at this point in his career, and Eric Spoelstra and a couple of others. They've come back down 0-2 in these playoffs twice so far. And he was the coach of the greatest comeback team in the history of the NBA. The 2016 Cavs down 3-1 to a 73-win Warriors team. Came all the way back and beat him. It seems to me that Ty Lue coached playoff teams do very well because they have a great playoff coach. Anyway, Ty Lue said on Monday that Kawhi remains out with a sprained right knee. There's been no change in his status. So it means that he's really uncertain for the remainder of this series. If Kawhi doesn't play, the Clippers can't win. Especially when Phoenix gets Chris Paul back. And by the way, Chris Paul, and I got to say something about this, going through the health and safety COVID protocols, I understand why someone wouldn't want to reveal their medical records because you have HIPAA rights and you want to keep some of that private and you don't want to be discriminated against by insurance companies or employers or whatever. However, when people talk about whether or not you got your COVID shot, that's a private decision. That's just nonsense dressed up as reasonable talk. It's utter nonsense. It's not a private. You get your measles, mumps, and rubella shots, right? In order to go to public school. You got to go to school. You get your shots. You know why? Because they used to be highly contagious and deadly diseases that we've basically wiped out until these vaccination lunatics brought measles back. So, Chris Paul, get vaccinated and get back. But if he does get back, you know, and Kawhi doesn't get back, the Suns will win. That music means it's Hoops with Dr. Dre. Yes, he has a PhD, and his name is Andre. Andre Snelling's on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN NBA writer. Now, senior writer. Now, Dre, I'm sure you've come on in your typically foolhardy way with your chest out thinking, look, the Bucks, I took out my pocket protector and it turns out the Bucks did win. Oh, the Bucks didn't win anything. Brooklyn got hurt. What do you have to say for yourself?
But that's impossible. The last time I was on here, I was talking to Max Kellerman. He told me, I said, if the Bucks win game three, it's a series again. He told me it's impossible that the Bucks win this series.
Barring injury.
Like, no. You said impossible. You didn't say nothing about barring
injury. Can I do a thought experiment with you, Andre? Can I do a thought experiment with you? Let's say every player on the team was hurt. In other words, no players were available for the game. Clearly, I mean, if players are healthy, like if they don't have Harden and then they lose Kyrie, then it's KD by himself. And Dre, KD almost beat that whole team by himself. He almost beat the – James Harden was a negative. He was killing the transition game. He couldn't defend. He was missing every shot. He was kept on the floor in a very bad coaching move by Steve Nash for like 40 minutes, whatever it was. He was a net negative. And yet they still almost won just with KD, Andre. How do you defend that?
You know, I always thought that if Chris Paul wouldn't have got hurt, that the Rockets would have beaten those Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant.
I agree.
How many rings did the Rockets get for that?
Like when
LeBron was missing Kevin Love and another guy, what was his name? Oh, yes, Kyrie Irving, who was out. He almost beat those Warriors, too. But did he get a ring for that? No. So,
but Trey, you and I, the smart people.
This is me,
Trey,
and you talking.
Trey, the nerds have to stick together, okay? At the very least. You and I marshal as evidence. Hey, LeBron by himself was able to take that Warriors team to a sixth game. Clearly, had he had Kyrie and Kevin Love, they would have killed them. They would have beaten the Warriors. They have six games with Delavito. So you and I agree about that. We're reasonable people. Also, we point to the Rockets now. It's uncertain, but it feels to me like, hey, D'Antoni's system, when he has a muse, right, when he has James Harden, when he has to actually get you closer to winning a championship than you deserve. Look at how much more talented the Warriors were. And yet, right, okay, but they didn't win. That's true. But given the evidence now, surely you believe, had the Nets been healthy, they'd have killed the Bucks, right?
So here's the thing. All jokes set aside, because nobody wants to see injuries. You know what I'm saying? I did not want the Bucks to win and to have an injury asterisk next to it. But as an analyst, as a serious analyst, you have to take the whole thing into account. Okay. You can't just say, well, if there are no injuries, especially in this situation. You know, I was watching you and Stephen A. talk about this yesterday, and Stephen A.'s top five list, he said karma was his number one thing. I'm not going to go that far as karma. But I will say, as an analyst, before this season even started, ESPN NBA did a top 100 player thing. I didn't get to vote for that, but they brought me in to respond. And they said, what's the one player in the top 20 that you think is least likely to live up the billing? And I chose Kyrie Irving because he'd been missing 26 games
Fair. And under the rubric of karma, what Stephen A. really meant was, you put a super team together. You didn't stay in shape in order to get out of Houston, James Harden. Kyrie, you miss a lot of games. KD, you're coming off of catastrophic injury. Steve Nash is like a friend hire, not a serious coach so far, right? Whose job is just, hey, everyone get along, but didn't design any plays. Hey, KD, here, take the ball. Make circus shots. So like all those things fall under the heading of karma for Stephen A. So I understand his point, but I also understand your point. Guys are injury prone. You have to factor that in. You're a top-heavy team, et cetera, et cetera. But Dre, they were missing Kyrie and, for all intents and purposes, James Harden, too. This was just KD who did this to them. But Joe Harris missed every shot, and they still came one shot away from sending the Bucks packing. Surely you believe that if he had either Harden or Kyrie, that series doesn't go seven games. Does it go seven games? Give him one of those two. Look, I want to ask you about KD. I understand that you agree with me. I want to ask you about KD. The evidence clear. I understand. The evidence shows what it shows. Look, KD, on the one hand, Dre, he played with superhuman effort and effectiveness, right? The efficacy of his game was unbelievable. Talking to Andre Snelling's ESPN NBA senior writer, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80. So KD was unbelievable. But Dre, last play of the game, he has a chance to tie it. He goes for the win. You credit his risk-taking. But there's a downside to risk. If you're going to take a three because you feel like you have a mismatch, you have an open shot, you got to hit it. And surely you can't airball it. Now, LeBron James is held to the MJ standard, which is a nearly perfect standard. If you simulated the universe a trillion times, MJ would never in a game seven, with all the chips on the line with a chance to tie, airball a three to lose the game. It just would never happen. And LeBron is held to, and it never did happen, LeBron is held to that standard. If he did that, people would be killing him. KD is not held to that standard. How much credit does KD get for this series? Has he replaced LeBron as the best player in the world? And Sawatsky would kill me, the interview guru, but that's okay. We're friends. Thirdly, do you hold it against him that he missed that shot?
I do not hold it against him that he missed that shot. I think that there's a lot of narrative in the way this question is framed, about whether Jordan would or would not have hit that shot.
Well, he never
because
did.
KD had just hit the shot, you know, to tie the game, almost ended, you know, in regulation. So
bully
it's not like
him.
We were like, oh, wow, he's not clutch. He just, you know, situation is what it is. He is not, in my opinion, as good as LeBron James, if LeBron is healthy. KD really showed me a lot, especially in that game five. Not so much. So the funny thing is, we all know what he is as a scorer. He's the best scorer, arguably, of this generation. Mm-hmm. Arguably, he's in the argument for
all
time.
Yeah, he's top three scorer of all time, maybe. Top five, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that wasn't new. But what he showed me in that game five, we had 17 rebounds and 11 assists, was that he could do everything else on an elite level, at least in a given game. You know, the difference between him and LeBron is LeBron does that every game. You know, like KD is a monster scorer, but he's not a guy that you run the offense
for. Dre, actually, I want to comment. I want to get in and out with you for the next 90 seconds. Then we got to wrap, they're telling me. But I'm watching KD from the time I thought it was ill-advised for him to play in the Warriors-Toronto series. Clearly he had an Achilles injury, and that's what happened. But I noticed from that series, because he's 7 feet with the wingspan he has, because he's a willing passer, he was facilitating the offense. He was making the correct pass willingly and doing it well. And he always has a passing lane, given his height and his width, you know. And then the fact that he can shoot, he can kill you from anywhere. So the defense has to respect that too. And from that time, I felt like he doesn't control a game quite like LeBron, but he's capable of being that kind of player who can run your offense. It just doesn't look exactly the same. And I thought he was doing that in a LeBron kind of way throughout that series. But Dre, it's not – yes, he hit the shot to tie the game. But when it came down to it, there were 4 or 3 seconds left on the clock in the game, and he took a three instead of maybe a better percentage shot to tie the game, and he didn't just miss it, he airballed it. Doesn't that get held against him?
No. I mean, he was at minute 53. You know, we talk about Nash didn't call that timeout.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the man is human, and Jordan is human. We ain't never seen Jordan play 53 minutes in a game seven, so we can't say what he would or wouldn't do. But, you know, to your previous point, and I know we got to go, KD is not that guy all the time. Even in recent years, he's like a 4.5 assists per game kind of guy. 4.5 assists, 4 turnovers, like 1-to-1. LeBron's like a 8-9-10 assists per game kind of guy. That's running an entire offense.
Yeah, and it's like a 3-to-1 turnover to assist kind of guy too. Yeah.
Yeah, KD can do it in spurts, but he can't do it all the time. So it's impressive that he can do it in spurts, but to get to LeBron's level, he's got to be able to do it all the time.
I got you. All right. Yes, you like the passers a lot. You like the offensive facilitators, and for some
reason,
you got
to be able to create the team offense.
You have a blind spot to Michael Jordan's greatness, who towers above everyone who ever lived. Okay, Andre Snellings.
Assist a game.
Andre Snellings, the great Andre Snellings, the ESPN NBA senior writer. Came on to admit defeat in the Bucks analysis. That's okay. It's big of him. I appreciate it, Andre, and I look forward to hearing from you again on this show very soon. The great Andre Snellings, ladies and gentlemen, on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Coming up, how's the locker room going to react to Nassib's coming out? I'll ask former baller Marcus Spears. It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Well, now you can get your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
It's the biggest season ever.
Baker Mayfield's the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. He's going to get top pay dollar. I developed him, and he's ready to go. Why would I let him walk out of the building?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The countdown to the NFL season continues. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, which line is it? What line is it? The Progressive Insurance line, Raj.
Well, right now it's just the phone line because you've already done the Goodyear All Hour. So I think
usually I like everything sponsored. Marcus.
What's up, brother?
What's going on?
Dylan, man.
Obvious,
what's that?
Well, obviously, the big news today, Marcus Spears, is Carl Nassib coming out saying, hey, very casually on Instagram saying, hey, I just want to let everyone know I'm gay and I have a great life and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm sorry it's, you know, taking this long for someone to do this. And let's play the sound, as a matter of fact. And I'd like you to react to it, having just heard the sound, you know, fresh. Go ahead. That's okay.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that, like, one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds.
Marcus, what's your reaction?
Man, nothing but respect, Max. Like, at the end of the day, bro, the announcement was made for a reason, right? Like, and that's my thing. Like, Carl knows himself, fully accepts who he is as a person, which in this day and age, man, let's be honest, so many things are trying to tell you what you should be and how you should do things and the way you should live. So I just respect people that's living their truth. That's number one. And then the second thing is for the people that's why announce it? Because of what he just said. Because he may be absolutely saving lives by making an announcement. And it goes into some of the talk about the role of an athlete, right? Like, one of those roles, and, you know, Charles Barkley is famous for saying that, I'm not a role model. But in all actuality, like, how you live it, the things that you do, it affects people that you don't know, right? We all want to be positive influences on our household, and we want to be brave in a lot of situations. But the bottom line is, man, I got nothing but respect for that dude. Because we know the idiots are going to come out. But we also know that the support system will be there, man. And seeing some of the fellas from the league, you know, go on social media and talk about the bravery, give Carl a shout out, all of that is great. But I just respect dude for how, you know me, Max, you know I relate to real and raw, bro. And for him to come out and say that, knowing the impact that it'll have, knowing the type of coverage it will have, and he's thinking about absolutely more people than himself, nothing but respect to that.
So, talking to Marcus Spears here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. So, Marcus, here are my thoughts. You know, almost three quarters of a century ago, Jackie Robinson broke the color line in Major League Baseball. Now, that didn't mean racism was over. It certainly didn't mean that. It didn't mean even the league was integrated. It's one black dude who gets to play, right, at that moment. But it was a watershed moment. It was an historically important moment because, as Carl Nassib said, representation and visibility are important. So members of large and oppressed groups can see, oh, that is available to me. It took almost three quarters of a century for a gay person to feel comfortable enough to come out while he was in the NFL. And obviously there have been a ton of gay players in the NFL just because of the percentage of the population that's gay, right? If 5% of the population is gay, and you look at the thousands of players that played in the NFL, you know, hundreds of players in the NFL. So, but that it took three quarters of a century. Marcus, think of the bigotry that gay people must feel. And not just bigotry, because if a disempowered group has kind of some bias against you and they can't really do anything to you, you're more likely to say, that's okay, I'm gay, no problem. But clearly the feeling must be that not only is there judgment and bigotry of something about them, but that the group or members of the group that feel that way have the power to negatively affect them. And only today in 2021 does someone feel comfortable enough or empowered enough or secure enough to say, hey, you know what? Raise their hand. I'm gay. That boggles my mind.
Max, listen, man. You and I have had a number of conversations about what that entails, right? And like how you have to be. And I hate having the conversation about the black community when we are talking about something completely different. But the bottom
line, it's a large oppressed group that was disempowered and had to worry about a more powerful group that was oppressing them. Yeah.
That was oppressive, right? So you're in a situation now where you have, right? That's why I said, man, the thing that's so impressive is the freedom that it gives others.
Yeah.
The liberation that it gives others, man. You brought up Jackie Robinson, the freedom that it gave black players to strive to play in the major leagues after that, right?
Hey, Marcus, I want to get your opinion on something before, because they're going to tell me in 30 seconds, hey, we have to go, and then I won't even get to say goodbye. I agree with you about that point, by the way. Did you have enough time to finish the thought, or do you want to finish that thought?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Just liberating people, man. Go ahead.
I want to read you a quote from Robert Klemko. He is a writer for The Washington Post, writes about social justice stuff and stuff, but it's a tweet he sent out. In 2013, I asked an NFL coordinator on background if he thought the league would ever accept an openly gay player. He said no, quote, because nobody wants to shower with a slur for gay people, end quote. And then he goes on to say, here's to Carl Nassib's courage and that coach being out of a job.
Yeah.
Before you go, I just want you to relate. Have you had any experience talking to other players when you take the temperature of a locker room, at least when you played? What was that sentiment? Was that pronounced, anti-gay, pronounced, aggressive sentiment? Was it something that you'd have to pry to get a feedback on? Like, what are gay players dealing with in the locker room?
From my experience, Max, nothing like that. Now, obviously, nobody came out while I was playing with the Dallas Cowboys if we had a gay player on the team. But man, dude, I think at times, like, I'm sure it's a collection of people, right? So you're gonna have different opinions and thoughts about it. But my experience in the locker room, man, is just, and maybe I was fortunate. Man, be you. Mm-hmm. Do you. Like, taking a shower and all of that, dude, like, them dudes ain't worried about you.
Right.
You know, so I just, that is simple mindedness. That is thinking that somebody else living their life is affecting yours and feeling like you need to say something stupid, basically. But for me, man, never. I never had that experience. Dudes had issues, man. Like every locker room, there's different circumstances, different everything, sexual orientation, different races, all of that. The teams that figure out a way, and the teams that do it, and it's a real brotherhood, because that's what we preach in the NFL, like, I'm sure it's shocking. It's not something you just take lightly if a player is coming out to you. More importantly, on his behalf, But the bottom line is, like, man, my experience in the locker room was, dude, I'm going to respect you more for being who you are as opposed to trying to be somebody else. And if that means you're a gay dude, if that means you identify as that, that's your sexual orientation, that's who you are. I'm accepting that. And you know why, Max? Because you being that doesn't change anything about my life, and it right. doesn't change anything about the character and the person that you've shown me to be.
Yeah, so people
you to be. So
people who feel threatened by that, you gotta ask yourself some questions. Get more secure, brother. What they do, what someone else does, not affecting you that way. The great Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen. Marcus, always love it when you come on. Thank you, brother. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. By the way, there's a great story in Major League Baseball right now. It's not a scandal. It's not a suspension. It's just a player playing out of his mind. The NBA Western Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 2 as the Suns host the Clippers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Last Take brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Mets ace Jacob deGrom. His scoreless streak is now up to 30 innings. It's 2 2/3 shy of R.A. Dickey, the knuckleball pitcher, came up with Texas, wound up on the Mets. 2 2/3 innings shy of R.A. Dickey's franchise record. It's his 12th straight start allowing one earned run or fewer, which is a record for starting pitchers. 12 straight starts, one earned run or fewer. His ERA is now at 0.5 through 12 starts, has the best strikeout to innings pitch ratio in the majors. In my lifetime, no one's ever pitched like this. And I lived through Ron Guidry in 78 and Dwight Gooden in 85, Valenzuela when he first came up, Greg Maddux with that 1.5, whatever, 1 ERA, whatever that was, Pedro Martinez when he was 20-3 with his strikeout to walk ratio. One year was like 300 strikeouts to 30 something walks. It was crazy. But I can't remember a stretch like this. And I just wanted to bring it up because baseball is not a national sport anymore. It's a local sport. It doesn't rate nationally. And so the only time you hear about baseball is when there's a scandal or maybe during the World Series. But what Jacob deGrom is doing right now is worth watching. This is, you know, if he does this much longer, he'll be on arguably the greatest streak for a starting pitcher in the history of baseball. Like you will say deGrom in 2001, and then there'll be one, you know, three or four other stretches of seasons that will be comparable. Jerome in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max.
Yep.
I'm a big fan. Just had a quick question for you. You explained my Clippers question before. Did you go to law school? You're such an eloquent speaker. I assume maybe you did because you have a way of talking and explaining things and making it clear for everybody exactly what's going on.
See, I appreciate that. My favorite kind of thank you for the compliment. And the reason I consider it a compliment, and I can't sit here and say, because I'm a genius and all these kind of things, is that the most important thing I think you can do is make ideas, important ideas, accessible if you're in this business. So I take that as a very big compliment. Thank you. I did not go to law school. At one point, I thought maybe I would go to law school and I would take the LSAT, which is a very difficult test. And then I thought, when I started looking into the LSAT, I thought, oh, God, this is going to be it's going to be time-consuming preparing for and everything. And I thought, can I make a living not working for a living instead? You know, like talking sports for a living. And there were certain things that were available to me, and I thought, yeah, I can. So I never did. Right. And that's that. There's nothing no one could do about it. Alex in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I wanted to hear your opinion on Ben Simmons to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for Gordon Hayward or Ben Simmons to the Denver Nuggets in exchange for Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr.
I don't know. I mean, you could probably get Hayward for him. That's interesting. And it was Michael Porter Jr. and who else?
Or Aaron Gordon.
I don't know who says no to that deal, but I you would think you could get Gordon Hayward for him. I think because of Clutch Sports and because of LeBron's presence, maybe he could get fixed on the Lakers because his trade value is so diminished. Hard to say. That's an Gordon Hayward, you think you could get at least for him, and then he would fit on the Sixers. He wouldn't be a bad fit on the Sixers. All right. This has been the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Download the podcast. Tell your friends. I'll see you tomorrow. Perf.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.